Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special edition of Hockey Night in New York, coming at you live from the Hockey This Week studios on Long Island. For tonight, you can listen to us live at htw2.com or for the archives as well. Got a special show coming up for you tonight. We're going to have Mr. Brian Compton join us as he does every week for Straight Outta Compton with Brian Compton. Hope everybody had a nice holiday weekend. My name is Sean Cuthbert. With me, as always, is Mr. Tony Stabile. Tony, how are you?
What's up, buddy? How's it going?
It's going, pal. It's going well. It's nice to be back.
Nice to be back. It feels so much longer than 2 weeks,
doesn't
it?
Buddy, it's only been 2 weeks, but it feels like 2 months.
Yeah, it's been a while. It feels like it's been a while.
Tony.
I've missed you, too. I really have. And as you see, we started off with a little Guns N' Roses. So,
GNR, I like it.
Yeah, a little GNR tonight started off.
That's one of my all-time favorites
from
the Roses.
It's a fantastic album.
Yeah.
Appetite for Destruction, a little bit.
Yeah.
Got a lot of hockey talk about tonight, buddy.
Yeah, we got some catching up to do. You know, we'll touch on the couple weeks that the Islanders, played over the course of this last little bit here. A little bit of a rocky road.
They seem to have righted the ship a little bit here. They're playing a little bit better hockey now. We have it's been a little bit of a tough month of March, and now that the calendar is flipped over into April, and we have just three more games left, bud, and that's it. And,
yeah,
one more at the Coliseum, and it's amazing that we've been talking about this. We were planning a show over the summer, and when we were in the early parts of the season, we were like, oh man, we got so much time, we're gonna have so much hockey to talk about.
Yeah,
we're down to the last regular season game.
It's been flying in fast.
It's unbelievable that we are finally here.
And it's funny, if we did the show last week, it would have been a pretty, it would have had a sad tone to it, Tony, because the Islanders did not have a good week leading up into last Sunday. They pretty much, I'm pretty sure they went overs, right? Lost in overtime to Columbus, lost to Minnesota, lost to Anaheim, and then they pulled off the win on the Sunday against the Red Wings.
Yeah, they pulled the Detroit game out.
Until that game, they were having a pretty rough week.
Yeah, and that was a crazy game. They were down 2-0 less than 5 minutes in, and they end up winning that game 5-4, I believe. So
yeah,
so that was a crazy game. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. You got some teams that were, very firmly cemented in the playoff picture that are now not so much. You have Ottawa that have come out of complete nowhere. And, well, listen, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. No, we never thought that Ottawa was really, for real. We kind of said, they're dead and gone. They're not going to come back.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, if they beat Pittsburgh tomorrow night, that's it. They leapfrog them. And Pittsburgh has been awful. I mean, you look at the way that they've played. Washington is playing fantastic hockey right now. Detroit is struggling. Boston is struggling. There is some. Nobody knows what the playoff picture is going to look like.
Boston's
in a week from
won
now.
Their last five in a row, so they are not struggling right now.
Well,
they were struggling.
They were, yeah.
But they're on track now.
Yeah,
they are on track. They got a big game tomorrow night, I believe. Is that they playing Washington tomorrow night?
No, is it tomorrow they're playing them?
I'm going to double check on that. I thought it might have been tomorrow, but I could be wrong because I am wrong a lot. That's true. These things happen.
We'll figure that part out.
Yeah, you know what? There's nine games in the docket tomorrow, and that is not one of them, so it must be later in the week.
Yeah.
We'll verify that date a little bit. But Tony, before we go any further,
you have these teams. You know, Pittsburgh has got to play the Islanders on Friday. You know, there's some tough schedule here. You know, in Pittsburgh they got housed by Philadelphia 4-1 on Sunday. Washington comes out with a 2-1 win over Detroit, I believe it was on Sunday.
Yep.
Ottawa loses in a shootout to Toronto of all teams. So it's been a little crazy. You have Columbus that up until tonight that still hasn't lost in regulation 10 games in a row now. They've been just unbelievable.
Columbus is ruining the fun for everybody.
Let me tell you something. Columbus is going to be one hell of a team next year. If you're Detroit, you got to start to worry about your playoff position because this is a good young team.
You know, it's kind of funny, but and obviously the way they got onto this road is a little bit different. But Columbus is almost following the same exact roadmap as the Islanders right now.
Mm.
You know, they got into the playoffs last year. They played Pittsburgh in the opening round. They gave them a hard time. They almost took them out.
Yeah.
Then they took a step back this year, but that was more due to injuries than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And now it looks like they're getting some guys back. They got Bobrovsky back and. You know, things have changed a lot. They're playing great. I mean, but look, you know, not to say that I don't think Columbus is as good as they're playing right now, but they have nothing to lose right now. I mean, they're playing carefree hockey right now.
No, they're playing tenacious hockey also. I mean, you see the way they played. You see, you know, the Islanders play against them the other night. They're a tenacious team. You know, they're a physical team. They play, you know, they're coached very well. They play the right way. You know, you saw it against the Rangers tonight. Every time the Rangers, went up a goal, Columbus was right there to get that goal back. You know, I mean, you know, and they went up 3-2. It was a beautiful pass by Chris Kreider to Derek Stepan on the tying goal with Lundqvist pulled with 30 seconds to go, and then Stepan with an unbelievable play to beat Bobrovsky in overtime tonight. And you know, but Columbus plays them hard, and Columbus has been beating up on everybody. I mean, they beat Pittsburgh last week, they beat the Islanders last week. You know, this is a team. You know, everyone says, oh, they're out of the playoffs or this, that, or everything else, but this is a team that is playing very, very well, and they're playing well because they got most of their guys back at this point. You know, they have their guy. You know, guys are healthy now. You know, Hartnell is there. He's been a big part of that team this year. Ryan Johansson, man, what a kid. This kid is, I mean, he's not in the, you know, in the top five or seven, you know, best players in the league, but this kid does everything well. He takes face-offs. You can put him out there in any situation. You know, he's going to score you 25 to 30 goals. He's going to get you, you know, 60 to 70 points, 75 points. You know, he's a really, really nice player to be centered around there. And you know they have a lot. They have a lot of talent. They really do. And it's, you know, Bobrovsky and goal. They stole him from Philadelphia. I mean, you know,
yeah,
that's
unbelievable.
It really. I mean, they have a really, really nice
that
looking
crease in Philly is just cursed. Although Mason's been playing pretty good, but he's inconsistent. But I mean, just over the years, we've talked about it before. They're just cursed between the pipes.
Well, you know, listen, they gave up on Bobrovsky way too early.
Yeah.
You know, they it was the one. You know, Laviolette. They were going into the playoffs, and they started that whole thing with Michael Layton, who's Michael Layton isn't even in the NHL anymore.
Wow, that's a name,
you know,
I haven't
yeah,
heard.
But that's who it was, man. And that was, you know, and they, you know, this kid was 20 years old, 21 years old. He had a great regular season, and they shattered his confidence in the playoffs. He, the first bad game he had, they pulled him, and that was it. You know, and it was terrible what happened. And then, you know, the following season, I think that was when they got rid of him. And you know, they get I don't think they ended up with Mason in that trade, but. But Bobrovsky ends up going to Columbus. He wins a Vezina, and he's been one of the top 10 goalies in the NHL ever since.
I wonder how many times
young.
Paul Holmgren threw up after Bobrovsky won a Vezina.
You know how many times he's traded away a young player that's turned out to be someone really good. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why he's not the GM anymore.
Well, yeah,
that's pretty
and
much
Ronnie
the
Hextall
there.
Ron Hextall might be throwing up every time that Bobrovsky wins a Vezina.
He's got a lot of work to do, Mr. Hextall.
I do not envy his job, but. Looking at that, you know, you look at the, you know, the teams, as you said, you know, teams that are on the way up, you know, you look at the way the Islanders have played the last couple of games, starting to see, you know, some of the younger players hit their stride again. You had, you know, great couple of games from Ryan Strome on that top line looks outstanding with John Tavares.
We'll get into it, but I love that top line.
That's looking really good right now. Yeah. Kuhlman is in the corners. You have Tavares with a little bit of space. You know, Strome is passing the puck left and right. The two of them look great together. They got chemistry going, so that's a good start right there.
Yeah.
And then you got the kids playing together again with Nelson and Lee playing together, and they look good. Nelson scores off that weird bounce the other night,
off the stick on the ice,
which a lot
he
of those,
needed that.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been happening for them recently, so you knew eventually something like that was going to happen.
Right.
You're seeing production out of the fourth line. You're seeing the production out of guys like Clutterbuck scored a big shorthanded goal the other day. I mean, it's you're starting to see I don't want to say that you're starting to see them turn back into the team that they were playing before, but you're seeing a little bit more consistency and you're starting to see results. And Halak has been outstanding the last.
Halak has been great. He's been a bright spot. And, you know, like you say, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves because, look, it's only been a couple games. They've taken five out of the last six, but, you know, the competition hasn't been, at the time. I mean, look, you have to beat Buffalo. And the fact that they only took a 1-0 lead into the third period in that game kind of bothered me.
Well, you know what?
They finally broke it up, but they dominated the game.
They dominated the game. But the kid Makarov played very well.
He made
three or four.
But
really
how many times are you going to say, oh, well, they ran into another hot goalie? I mean, they gotta start finishing like they were, you know, earlier on in the year. I mean, that's been their strength this whole season, has been their offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so they got to get that back into gear. They had that stretch of losses now, you know, coming into before this week here where they were losing games by a goal, but their average goals for were going down. You know, you had two goal games, one goal games, a couple of one goal games.
I think during that
losing streak.
I think the offense will be there. I think that, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that the offense is there. You know, you look at the guys who they have. Oposo is still struggling. Bailey, that second line now with Nielsen, Oposo and Bailey looks very good. Probably a line that it's great that you're able to take three guys like that and put them together and they just have chemistry from 3 years ago, you know, and you could just see it. It's great that you see that from those three. You've had Bolton in the lineup the last couple of games. He's done a nice job. He's come in, done a nice little job there, coming back on the fourth line. You elevate Clutterbuck to the third line. You got Grabner, who's healthy, is sitting out. You got Tyler Kennedy, who's healthy, is sitting out. You have Calvin DeHaan has been sitting out, but honestly, the defense has played well. I mean, you know, and the penalty kill has been outstanding. I mean, you really, the penalty kill has been. This is the first time I could say all season that the penalty kill has been outstanding, and it really happened. You know, they had that 4 minute, ridiculous. I can't believe they even called 4 minutes on that play, but 4 minute power play. And Buffalo, I mean, to their credit, has been scoring some power play goals recently. They had a couple tonight, if I'm not mistaken. But the Islanders shut them down. I mean, they weren't able to get anything going. They've been putting the pressure on. I think they've killed like 36 out of 39 now, or 36 out of 38 in their last, 15 or 17 games.
Right.
So this is the first period of sustained. And now I think they're up to 25th or 24th, which is, compared to where they were. They were so far.
No, Tony, it's amazing because, I mean, their penalty kill has gone from a complete disaster, their biggest weakness by far, to now what looks like their biggest strength, arguably.
Well,
you
recently
know, it's just been so good. And you know what? There's no better time than now. Yep. I mean, it took a little longer than most of us would have liked. Mm. But if they're going to be able to ride a penalty kill like that going into the postseason, I mean, that bodes very well for them.
Yeah.
The only thing is they got to get their power play a little more consistent. Now, it has looked better. What was it? Against Detroit, they scored 3 out of 4?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good sign. But,
that
again,
it's
been very up and down. And it seems like they're still kind of trying to figure out what they want to do with the clientele and the power play. They're still kind of mixing and matching a little bit.
And Arthur Staples said something very interesting on Twitter the other day about someone who was complaining that Boychuk wasn't on the power play at all. And he said it's probably because they're trying to save him because he's banged up. And I have a feeling that has to do with a lot of the personnel moves that you're seeing is that they're trying to give these guys a little bit of a break whenever they can.
Yeah, we got to talk a lot about the personnel decisions that have been going on lately. But, Tony, before we do anything else, Tony, we're talking about the Islanders now, so let's rattle off some numbers really quick.
Good.
They're 46, 27, and 6, good for 98 points. They're currently third place in the Metro. They're a point behind Washington, but they do have a game in hand, and Washington will be playing Boston and the Rangers to close out the season. So you'd like to think that the Islanders' destiny is still very much in their own hands.
They're
as far
playing
as
Philly, who
goes.
They play well against.
Yes, they have Philly tomorrow night. They're 3 points ahead of Pittsburgh. They've both played 79 games. They are 3-5-2 in their last 10. Tony, how does it feel to be Tony Stabile?
I like with the situation that they're in. I mean, you had a couple of days off after the Buffalo game. You have a game against Philadelphia, who they've been playing very well against Philly recently. They match up pretty well against them now. Going into Friday night is your pretty much your season finale, in my opinion. You're playing Pittsburgh. You're in Pittsburgh. It's a team that they played well against. Pittsburgh is playing extremely bad right now. I mean, I know they outshot Philadelphia on Sunday, but they are not playing well at all. Sidney Crosby is not playing well. Malkin's been out of the lineup. They got Letang hurt now. LeFleury they're not playing well at all.
No, they're not. And one interesting stat I saw, and this was even before the game on Sunday against Philly. Now, I don't remember the exact number. It might have been three, it might have been four games, whatever it was. But basically, the Penguins are putting up the first goal on the board in like three or four straight games.
And they've lost all three of them.
Yep. And then Sunday comes against Philly. They score that first goal late at the end of the period on the power play. And it looks like, oh, maybe Pittsburgh's finally going to get it together. But they end up losing that game, too.
4-1.
After scoring the first goal.
These are games where they were up 2-0 against Columbus. They were up 2-0 against Columbus. Columbus goes and scores five goals. They end up losing 5-3. Columbus. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, that made me feel a lot better about the Islanders' loss to Columbus.
Well, everybody, and look at the way they played the Rangers tonight. You don't have to feel bad about the way the Islanders played.
Unbelievable.
They played really, really well. So, I mean, you look at, you know, Pittsburgh is in a slide right now. They're not playing well. Their goal differential is down to a plus 12, okay, which is, among other than Boston, is the worst, and it's tied with Detroit now, of all the playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, they've lost six of their last 10, three in a row. They've lost everything that they had. Okay, everything good that they had going for them. They had games in hand. They had the regulation and overtime wins in hand. They've lost all of that. Now they're behind the Islanders in ROW. They lost their games in hand. They're now 3 points behind the Islanders. So I think you could pretty much kiss home ice advantage for Pittsburgh out the window. The Islanders are now fighting Washington for that, but Washington's got some tough games. And you don't want, if you're Washington, you don't want to, you know, you risk your guys getting hurt. I think they already lost Wilson the other night on a fluky kind of play. So
yeah, well, look, I think home ice is just as important to Washington as it is to the Islanders. So I mean, they're going to go out, you know, like barnstormers in these last two games against Boston and the Rangers.
Well, those are two.
I mean, look at it this way: I don't think any team wants to potentially go into the Coliseum four times in a series.
I don't think anybody wants to do that. I can agree with you there.
And you know,
I'm not sure anybody wants to go in there three times.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's getting league-wide recognition now. I mean, I'm reading pieces, on NHL.com. You know, you're not just seeing it coming out of the Islander blogosphere or you know, Arthur Staple. You're seeing, people taking recognition of just, I read a piece on, it was on Sports Illustrated. I think it was Alan Weir, if that's a correct pronunciation of his last name.
Yeah, it was a very good piece, by the way. And we have to bring this up with Brian, but the piece that Brian wrote today.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
It wasn't today, it was yesterday. But it was unbelievably well written. It was it covered everything, everything you could want. If you want to know what it's like to be an Islander fan the last 35 years, he covered it all.
It was an epic. It was an epic. But, home ice is big right now. And it looks like, you know, we'll touch, get a little more in-depth in this whole playoff race here for the Islanders and also just for the East and the West in general. But, it's looking pretty clear, you know, that it's going to be the Caps and the Islanders in the first round. It's just a matter of who's getting game one and two in their own building.
Right.
Unless Pittsburgh just all of a sudden wakes up, wins out. They pretty much have to win out to get into that situation.
It's going to be easy either because, again, they don't play. They haven't been playing well against the Islanders. I mean, they haven't been playing well at home. They haven't been playing well, period. So, I mean, they're not playing well. Their stars are not playing well. You got Letang out of the lineup, which is that's a huge blow for them. I mean, that's a huge blow. I mean, last year when you had Niskanen back there, it was a little bit, they weathered the storm without him. But you don't have to. You lost Niskanen, and he's gone. I mean, they've lost a lot back there. You look at some of the other guys. You know, they can't do what Letang does.
And it's just amazing how now out of the blue, how much weight tomorrow night's game against Ottawa is going to carry.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's in Ottawa.
And that's a team that a month ago was completely dead and buried.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they are kind of, they are ready to leapfrog.
It's probably, it might be my fault. Maybe I motivated them, Tony. Because I said they were done. I said they were winning meaningless games. It doesn't matter. And then they went and just started winning games.
Okay, buddy. Okay, pal.
Well, I said it was my fault. I wasn't giving myself credit. You know, I'm not saying I'm the reason.
It's six of one, half dozen of the other, can we say?
Whatever. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Tune in live or on the archives, typically at htwradio.com. But for tonight's show, it will be htw2.com. You listen to Sean and Tony. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to keep talking playoffs.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to the Hockey This Week Radio Network right here at hcwradio.com, home of the Butch Goring Show, the Red Line, and the Neil Smith Show. Our programs feature insights on the NHL from a who's who's list of former NHL stars and media personalities, including Dave Maloney, Terry Frazier, Ken Danico, Bernie Nichols, Guy Carboneau, Liam McGuire, and Scott Laughlin. All HCW shows are broadcast live and archived right here at hcwradio.com. So if you miss a program, you can always listen in 24-7. The Hockey This Week Radio Network. The game is always on.
Night in New York, part of the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Tune in live or on the archives at htwradio.com. But tonight, it is htw2.com. You listen to Sean and Tony. Welcome back. We are talking playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it just a beautiful thing to be here in April talking playoffs? Now, I know there's some of you negative Nancys out there in Isle of the Country that are still worried that there's still not a little X next to the Islanders' name in the standings. But fear not, ladies and gentlemen, they will be there. If they don't get in, I will give you my address, and you can come burn me at the stake. They're going to the playoffs. I'm not jinxing them here, all right? Just breathe easy. They're going to be in. They're fighting for home ice, and that's a great thing.
Well, look at the Rangers. The Rangers are like, what, a week ago, and they have 107 points. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not as if teams have been clinching for weeks. And
the parity and the loser points and all that stuff. I mean, you're seeing, you know, the playoff race is literally going down to the nitty gritty here, right?
And a lot of it has to do with the teams, like we said, Columbus and Ottawa, that are playing so well that they're playing their way back into this whole thing. And it's to the point where, you know, you look at Ottawa and you see the way that this has gone for them. You know, a team that we said here 3 weeks ago, no way they get into this thing. And in the last week of the season, they have the opportunity to leapfrog the Pittsburgh Penguins, the team that which the Islanders had a leapfrog to go into first place in the Metro.
Right. No, it's crazy. And yeah, tomorrow night's going to be must-watch TV. I mean, it's just going to be an unbelievable game. I mean, all the pressure is going to be on Pittsburgh.
Their last three games, they have no margin for error. Zero.
Right.
They have zero margin for error. Because if they lose tomorrow, they're out of the playoffs. Then they have to play the Islanders on Friday, okay, and then they have to play again on Saturday.
And that game is just to climb back in.
That's
no longer
to get you,
right.
And you're playing a team that's fighting for home ice.
Right.
Okay, so it's not as if the Islanders are going to say, "Oh, the hell with it, we're going to play."
Right.
You know, we're going to play Kevin Poulin because we don't, like this. Let me tell you something. Kevin Poulin has now lost his job in Bridgeport.
Yes,
we're going to talk. We should talk a little bit about that later. But the wonderful prospect of Stefan Williams, and he's gone to Bridgeport and has played two very very nice games. And their other AHL
he won tonight,
sign,
right?
He won tonight. Won stopped 31 shots, and the Bridgeport, which you commented on, is terrible. has won two straight for the first time, I think, in like 7 years.
Wow. It's a long time.
It's been
sometimes
you reported it was there. They were terrible.
It was bad hockey. We don't have to beat that dead horse any more than we
well,
already
you can
did.
If you want to.
No, that's fine. I mean, look, two wins in a row. You gotta start somewhere, right? So maybe they'll end the season on a high note.
And they had the other kid who they took out of Ferris State, the goaltender C.J. Mott, played the game before the two that Williams played, and he played very well as well. I mean, I think they lost the game 3-2, but he made like 32 saves and played very well also. So
okay.
It looks like the
this.
New tandem goaltending tandem of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers will be C.J. Mott and Stephon Williams.
Well, let me ask you a quick question about those two guys now coming into the organization. I mean, do they have NHL backup potential? I mean, are they just going to be guys that are going to be, just kind of doing their duty down at Bridgeport?
Well, Williams was the goaltender on the number one team in the country this year. You know, Minnesota State is trying to work their program up and up and up, but they were the number one team in the country, and they lost 2-1 in the tournament. He was 25. I think he was 25-5-3 with a 1.65 goals against average and a .925 save percentage.
Wow,
he was awesome this year.
Wow,
he signs a 2-year entry level deal because he's a junior in college, so he's a little bit older already. So he gets to skip that 1 year. He's on a PTO, so this year does not burn off of his contract, and he has looked very, very good. So he looks like he's got NHL potential.
Okay.
C.J. Mott, we have to kind of, you have to see. Goalies are a little bit different, but he played in the top program at Ferris State, played very well there. So we'll get a chance to see what he has to do, what he'll do in Bridgeport. But, the other Islander goaltending prospects, Eamon McAdam with Penn State is still a young guy. He needs more time there, more seasoning. Ilya Sorokin, who was a guy they drafted last year, and Linus Soderstrom are both 18 years old, both a very raw goaltending product prospects. Poulin, as you see, has nowhere to go in this organization. He won't be back. Anders Nielsen was traded in the Nick Leddy trade, so he's gone. So these two kids are now the guys who you'll see in Bridgeport, and who knows? I mean, if William plays well in Bridgeport next year, you could be looking at him as a possible backup for Harlock.
There's still some depth in the goaltending prospects.
Absolutely.
For the Islanders.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know how strong it is, but they do have
this
a couple
kid Williams
guys
has come. This kid Williams has had two of his 3 years at Minnesota State. He played very, very well, and he came his sophomore year. I believe he had hip surgery, and that's the reason it took him a little longer to kind of get his game going. But he came right back the same way he was as a freshman and played as a junior. And he seems to have potential. He seems to have NHL potential. So we're going to see what happens as he plays in Bridgeport. He's played very well the first two games. I mean, he stopped, I think, 61 of the first 64 shots he's faced. So he's played well so far. So we're going to get a chance. And like I said, a lot of the younger goaltenders a lot of the other goaltenders they have are young. They're 18 years old. Sorokin will be in the KHL at least the next 2 years. Linus Soderstrom will be playing in the Swedish Elite League for the next couple of years. Both of them played very well at the World Juniors. Soderstrom played very, very well. I think he opened some eyes there. And he went Sorokin went in the third round, I think, and Soderstrom was the fourth. So, the Islanders have taken some goalies in those rounds, over the last couple of years. And listen, right now they're set in the NHL level. They're going to have a new backup next year. I doubt very much Michael. I mean, listen, Michael Neuwirth may be back, but he has the opportunity, possibly to get a starting job someplace. So.
Well, his numbers since coming to the island have not been pretty. I don't know if that's going to have any indication on what happens in the summer for him. But small sample size.
Yeah.
Team wasn't playing very well in front of him. They weren't scoring goals for him.
Yeah.
But his numbers are not looking. I'm pretty certain that his save percentage is below .900. Goals against is ballooned. He pretty much has Chad Johnson numbers pre-trade.
Right.
Weird as it is.
If you look at the larger sample size, which is where he played in Buffalo, his numbers were outstanding. I mean,
he was taking a lot of shots.
920 or 921 save, and his goals against wasn't that great, but when you're facing, 67 shots a game, that's bound to happen. So, Neuwirth is, there are some open spots. Okay, you look at Edmonton. Edmonton is dying for a goaltender. Scrivens is not getting it done there.
And they've had like 8 goalies go through that team over the last couple of years.
Of course,
too.
Well, now that Minnesota has their starter in Devin Dubnyk, So Edmonton is still looking for their guy, and. There'll probably be some other jobs open. If the Islanders want Neuwirth to come back, it's a possibility. Obviously, the Islanders thought enough of him to give up that third round pick to get him to and he is an upgrade over him
and not enough of Johnson.
Yeah, he's definitely an upgrade over Johnson.
Oh, despite his numbers right now, I still agree that he's a better option than Johnson.
I have a lot more faith that if Halak went down, that Neuwirth could take this team, you know, and run with it than Johnson would.
I agree.
Well, you know, so there was no faith there, you know, with Johnson. Whereas I have faith that
right
that
as
Neuwirth
we discussed that Carolina game just sealed Johnson's fate.
Oh,
that was just brutal.
And I mean, you got to wonder maybe if you know he got injured in his first practice in Buffalo. So you have to wonder if that was just coming or because he looked slow. I mean, it was just we talked about it. He looked slow. It was you know there was no way around it.
Interesting.
So who knows? But you know, I mean, the kid Buffalo they just seem to throw another kid in net every game and they seem to do well. I mean, it's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
This kid that played on Saturday night, Makarov, who I've been hearing about for a while now. He made some really nice saves. I mean, in the first couple of minutes, the Islanders were swarming. I think they had like seven.
Oh yeah,
they were in
the attack zone for a good deal of time in that first.
And
period.
Buffalo was like, wow, look at these guys skate. You know, like you saw the defenseman.
Right.
You know, it was you know, and poor Ted Nolan. He's got one NHL defenseman, I think, on that entire team. Zach Bogosian, and that's it. You know, I mean, so yeah, he's
riding out the strength.
Oh, he really is.
Riding out the street.
I don't. Do you think he's going to be back there? I don't think he's going to be back.
Well, do you know if he has any time left in his contract? I mean, I don't think this is his last year.
No, I think he signed an extension.
I think that answers your question. As long as
Murray and not getting along, they were, you know, Murray wanted to be dead and buried last.
Yeah, they've made that very apparent.
Yes. I mean, I don't think you make any more.
I think
you traded half your roster for a guy who's not playing this year. So I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, and they basically begged Winnipeg to make that happen. I mean, you know, I mean, they took Bogosian back, but I mean, you know, I mean, and listen, they like Bogosian, but
right.
You know, Stafford, Myers. I mean, you know, for a guy who's not going to play a game this year, I mean, you know,
they are all in on the McDavid sweepstakes.
Yeah, well,
and they have clinched the 30th spot. They will have the most balls in the lottery.
Yeah,
so they have the best chance to get that number one.
Maybe this
tanking will come back to bite them in the butt here, and maybe they end up falling to number two.
I don't think
not to say that that's a bad thing. Eichel is also a very good player.
Eichel is going to be fantastic. They're all going to. Yeah. I'm telling you right now. You look at the five, and we'll go over the draft as we get closer to June.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that now.
But you look at those five kids that they have at the top of this draft, and any one of them could be. I mean, Dylan Strom, Hanifin, Eichel, McDavid. I mean, McDavid is just, that kid is scary good.
Yeah.
Scary, scary good.
Yeah, I've seen some YouTube clips.
Oh,
and
whoever
does get the privilege of drafting that guy, they're in for a treat.
You're talking generational type talent, so we'll see what happens. But this is gonna be a fun draft because.
But let's do the playoffs first, Tony. Forget about the draft. Let's get back to the playoffs here. Let's reel it back in. Just before the break, we were talking about Pittsburgh, very dicey predicament here, where it's unbelievable that they are actually in danger of not even getting into the playoffs. And tomorrow night, as we said, could very well, seal their fate. If you will,
let's put it this way: if they don't win in regulation tomorrow night, they're in serious trouble.
The only thing they have going for them is that only pulls Ottawa within a tie in points. You know, they don't leapfrog Pittsburgh, you know, points wise, but they do come within a tie of them. As far as regulation overtime wins, Pittsburgh actually does have the tiebreaker on them as well. Pittsburgh has 38 ROWs. Ottawa only has 34. So it's not the absolute end of the world if they lose tomorrow night. But, I mean, look, it just makes it all the more difficult, you know. I mean, because Ottawa will be riding high off of that win if they get it. And then you figure, you know, Detroit and Boston aren't both going to struggle here. I mean, look. It's just another team to be fighting with. And the crazy thing here is you have four teams basically vying for, you know, two, three spots here.
Detroit and Boston have – their records are so identical, it's not even funny. They're 41-25-13. They have same amount of points.
Across the line,
same amount of regulation wins. Same amount of shootout wins. They have one – but Detroit's got one more shootout loss than Boston. Their goal differential is almost identical. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really – they are – as you know, and you, as you said, Boston's won five straight now, but they had they hadn't won a game in regulation in the previous five.
They were struggling before that. Now Detroit is on the downswing here with Pittsburgh. I mean, they're not looking so great either. I don't know what the problem is in Detroit. I don't know if there's something you're seeing there with the Red Wings, but you know.
They're creating a goaltending problem is really what's happening because Howard's not playing all that well. Then they've gone to Peter Mazarek, who's their top, you know, their top prospect, and he's starting to struggle now too. So now you got two goal. Now you have a goaltender who's playing really well in Mazarek, and then you have you put Howard in the lineup, and Howard starts to struggle, and then you took Mazarek out. Now he's struggling. So you know, they've kind of unfortunately shot themselves in the foot with that. You know, I mean, it's listen, you got to give the goaltender. You know, the Rangers have done it. They had to give it back to Lundqvist. They had a couple of games where they struggled when he first came back in the net. But he's played well tonight. Made a couple of unbelievable saves as he usually does.
Right.
And there's another guy who'll be available this summer, Cam Talbot. That's I would have to think that Glenn Sather has to put him on the market because
We talked about that.
You got to capital. You got to capitalize on that.
Sell high.
That's just you know, that's just crazy. The Rangers will be able to get some of those pieces that they moved back for him maybe.
Sure.
But, I mean, you know, you look at the way, you know, and we talked about this, and, you know, and you say it, you know, people say, oh, you're crazy, you know, you bring a Henrik Lundqvist back in the lineup, you bring a Jimmy Howard back in the lineup, you bring a Kyle Loposo back in the lineup, and you think everything is just going to go back to the way it was before. You have a team that's playing with chemistry. You don't want to make any changes. You don't. I don't care if you got Wayne Gretzky back, whatever. You don't want to make any changes because that team as a unit is playing the way that it is. And any change is going to make a change.
It's going to rock the boat. You got to get the best players in there, though. So you just have to suffer through those couple of games.
But it does have an effect.
Sure.
And you saw, you know, in Pittsburgh, again, you've got guys coming in and out of the lineup there. They're not doing, you know, I mean, they're struggling all over the place. And it just seems that every one time another guy comes back to the lineup.
And it's injuries, too. Though I mean, you had Malkin out for a little while there. Letang is out, which is a big blow to that defense. Erhoff, I believe, is still out as well.
They lost to Kid Mata early in the season.
He's out for the rest of
the season. He's another young offensive defenseman. They have, I don't know if they have the Kid Pouliot, who's another one of their young defensemen. They had Harrington is another one of their young guys who came up for a while. But you know, you're relying on your fifth and sixth string defensemen because you got all these injuries. They're bound to struggle at this point with this.
They're in a tough situation. But let's focus a little bit on the Atlantic now. You basically have three teams right now are basically vying for the chance to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round because they've got
that should be fun.
Right. Well, and A, it could still be the Canadiens. I mean, they both got two games left, the Lightning and the Canadiens, but right now Montreal's on top with 106 points. Tampa's got 104. So I suppose those two teams still could interchange depending on how
Montreal
it shakes out here.
Montreal lost a big player the other night.
Talk about it, Tony.
Max Pacioretty goes out with a concussion.
Oh, man.
It was just a fluke play. He fell over awkward, and his head snapped into the boards. I saw the play tonight. It does not look good.
And that's a team that
does not have a lot of offense,
exactly.
And he's a big part of what they have. So that's a big loss for them. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. Pacioretty's a fun player to watch, but you know, he had that scary head injury when Chara put him into the inboards that time. So,
right. The curve.
You know, you always got to worry when it comes to head injuries with a player like that. And listen, we're talking the playoffs now, and we're talking about, you know, all these different teams. Can we finally put to bed the whole Alex Ovechkin is not one of the greatest players in the NHL? Can we finally put this argument to bed? Because I've heard over the last couple of seasons that Ovechkin's not the same player. Oh, he scored 50 goals last year, but he was a minus whatever. He was a minus 35 or minus 33. Or, you know, this guy has been unbelievable. It seems like he scores every freaking goal that they score. It seems like he's got it. He has been. I mean, what is he? I mean, he had like 28 goals, and I blink, and now he's got 53 now. I mean, he has been unbelievable for this team. Barry Trotz has finally got himself an offense with Backstrom and Ovechkin. He's got himself, a good defensive core back there. He's got Niskanen. He's got Brooks Orpik. He's got Mike Green playing, like the old Mike Green again. He's got a guy in Holtby that's playing well in goal. you know, Washington is a little scary right now. They are a little scary. This is a team that's not played well in the playoffs in the past. You have a different coach now, so who knows if they're going to be a little different. But you have guys, you know, team. You have a team that has struggled to get out of that first and second round. So it's going to be interesting to see how they are with Trotz now. But Alex Ovechkin is, I don't care. You can tell me whatever you want. He is just unbelievable. He is an unbelievable player.
No, without question. I mean, it's nice to see because he did have those couple of years where he struggled and people started to kind of question, you know, his place in the superstardom of the NHL.
Yeah, but you also had the freaking coaching carousel of. I'm surprised they didn't call either one of us to go down there and coach because I mean they called everybody else.
Right.
You know, you had Dale Hunter.
Yeah.
You had, I mean, Boudreau. He was. You know, they made this mistake by getting rid of Boudreau. You know, now they have. It looks like they, you know, they did the bright thing by going and jumping on Barry Trotz the minute that Nashville let him go, which was the smartest thing that anybody could. Listen, there are 28 teams in the NHL that should have considered Barry Trotz as their coach. You know?
Of course.
I don't care if you had your coach signed for 5 years, you should have considered him as your coach because there's only one or two guys who are better than him.
No, Tony, I mean, now that we're back on the Caps here and we're talking about, you know, potential first round matchups, I mean, look, I was all for the Islanders playing Pittsburgh in the first round, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. And it looks like we said, it looks very much like it's going to be the Capitals. And not to say that I am scared to the point where I don't think the Islanders can take the Capitals in seven, because I do believe they can. But, you know, Ovechkin-Backstrom, you know, being led by Barry Trotz is a lot different than what's going on in Pittsburgh right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you know, we said this before, too. The Islanders picked a real good time to get their penalty kill going because they're going to need it in a first-round series.
Absolutely.
Against that power play.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Ovechkin and Backstrom. So, I mean, that's going to be, if and when it happens, that'll be a wild, wild series between the Caps and the Islanders. There's going to be a lot of goal scoring. And, you know, because you just look at how potent both of those offenses are.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, they're two very solid teams. They match up very well against each other. It should be a fun series. I think that... you know, I think that, you know, if you look at as much gratification as I think Islander fans would have gotten by playing Pittsburgh again.
And it could still happen.
I think that most fans
acknowledge the possibility.
I think most fans. Listen, if you look right now, I mean, just look at what the playoff picture looks like right now. You have the Rangers are right now looking at playing either Boston or.
Right now it would be Detroit. If they started today, it would be Detroit.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought
Boston right now sits in third behind Tampa.
I have it different. I have Detroit sitting in third behind.
Really?
Yeah.
What site are you using, Tony? Because I'm using NHL.
I'm using ESPN.
Oh, okay.
So I could be wrong, but right now they have Detroit as the ahead of Boston for some reason. I don't know why, but
it would have to be the head-to-head. It depends on whatever the head-to-head is, because they both have 37 regulation overtime wins.
Yeah.
You know, they both have 95 points. Either way.
But I mean, listen. If you're the Rangers, I think that you much rather play. The speedy, you know, fancy Detroit Red Wings than playing the big
bad
Boston Bruins.
Absolutely. Who wants to play the Bruins in the first round?
Nobody wants to
play the Bruins. Riding a five-game winning streak right now.
It's not so much the five-game winning streak. They've been up and down all year long.
They have.
But you just don't want to play them because, listen, you don't want to play Tuukka Rask, who is, again, you know, no matter who's playing in front of him, is one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. And then you're playing a team that is just basically going to physically pound you. You know, I fully believe that the Montreal Canadiens last year had not played Boston before they played the Rangers. I think that's a different series. Whether Price plays or not, I think that's a completely different series because I think that they were so battered after seven games I don't even know if it went to seven games with Boston, but after that series they took a beating from the Bruins. And Montreal is not a big physical team. They're not. You know,
right.
This is one of these, you know, teams built on speed and whatnot. But, you know, I honestly believe that any team that has to play the Bruins is going to go into the next round at a disadvantage, without a doubt.
And that's if they get out of that first round.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, you can't – look, the Boston's had their struggle this year. We've talked about it. They you know, they lost Boychuk. They've kind of been trying to recover from that. But the bottom line is, like you said, they're a big physical team.
Can't believe we're still talking about that.
They're
Right. The loss of Johnny Boychuk.
Yeah, well,
I can't believe
obviously,
it.
it had its reverberations throughout the
obviously
the team
so.
The city,
game
yeah.
80, we're still saying game 79, we're still talking about it.
Well,
so.
Well,
and
still
we're not the only ones.
There, so.
That's what I'm saying. We're not the only ones. They're you know yeah. their beat guys are still talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, look. Again, it's gonna be wild. I mean, even just watching the race here going until the end of the week is gonna be awesome to watch, and the playoffs are gonna just be unbelievable. I mean, we've said it before, but I mean, I'm really excited about watching these playoff series, especially in the East, because you know, even it changes it a bit if Ottawa gets in. I'm not too wild about Ottawa, regardless, despite the fact they've been playing so well. But if it stays the way it is right now with Boston, Detroit, and all that, I mean, I just think all eight of those teams would be very exciting to watch, and they could all come out of the first round.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's the hockey has been unbelievable leading up to this week. This week is going to be great, and then you start the playoffs. So it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be really, really great stuff.
Indeed, Tony. Oh boy. Hello.
No, we lost Brian.
Ah, we lost Brian. All right. All right. We lost him. I'm sure he'll be back momentarily. But anyway, it is time.
He's back.
Is he back? Brian, are you there?
Hello, fellas.
There he is.
There he is. How you doing, Mr. Compton?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing very well, Brian. Very excited. We're talking about the potential playoff matches here coming up. We're here in the last week of the season. A lot going on. A lot of exciting stuff to talk about. Let's start with the Islanders here a little bit, and then maybe branch out into the league wide. Islanders are in an interesting position right now. They're sitting third place in the Metro. They're a point behind Washington. Looks like they're going to be in a battle with them for home ice. It seems like it might be a foregone conclusion they're going to meet in the first round. What do you see here going into the stretch? Do you think the Islanders have what it takes to pull out home ice?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's an easy task, but all they really have to do is win these last three games. It's against winnable opponents, including Pittsburgh, the way the Penguins are playing. So if they can continue to score goals and play the defensive game that we saw over the weekend, they control their own destiny here. It's a great opportunity, and we know how important home ice can be, especially with the way the Coliseum has been all season long.
Absolutely, Brian, no question. And something Tony and I touched on a little bit earlier on in the show is the personnel decisions that have been made by the Islanders, and wanted to get your take. I know we've dived into this before, just because there's been some I guess you could call questionable moves being made by Capuano here, and the first one I have to tackle because it's just still happening is that Brian Schrade is still in the lineup over Calvin DeHaan. I am still completely just perplexed by it. I don't know how you're feeling about it, but let's get your take.
It's baffling for me. I spoke with Arthur Staple from Newsday about it last week, fellas, and his take was that he assured me that Calvin DeHaan would be one of their six when the playoffs roll around, which is obviously good news if you root for this hockey team. The problem for me, fellas, is if he's going to play and be one of their six, he's got to play this week. I mean, they can't continue to sit him and hope that he's just going to step right in and be the guy that we saw for the majority of last season. So, it's like Arthur told me, Brian Schrade is a seventh defenseman. You know what you're going to get from him. Calvin DeHaan has regressed probably a little bit. You want to attribute that to the sophomore slump or whatever it is, you go right ahead. But the fact of the matter is, the idea that Calvin DeHaan is going to sit after everything Gart Snow gave up to get this guy back in 2009 for a waiver wire pickup who's not going to contribute at all offensively, we know that. Can't carry the puck up the ice and make that first pass out of the defensive zone. If it's going to be Washington, a fast team with a very quick transition and one of the most lethal offensive players on the planet, to me, fellas, that it's just not a good idea. And we're gonna have a much better idea of where this is going probably as early as tomorrow morning once the Islanders or Cappy announces who's in the lineup tomorrow. But I find it very hard to believe at this point, not calling Arthur Staple a liar. He's a good friend of mine. He certainly knows more about this team than I do. But if Calvin DeHaan's going to play, then he's got to start playing as early as tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. I agree with you 100%. But with everything you said, I mean, look, let's put confidence in what Arthur Staples said. We have no reason to believe otherwise. So let's just kind of talk about what could possibly be the motivation here. I mean, there's no signs of DeHaan being hurt. Nobody said he's injured. He's just being healthy scratch for whatever reason. But not only that, but Strait is also getting – he's getting almost top minutes, you would say, with DeHaan. He's playing, you know, close to sometimes above 20 minutes a night here, being paired with Travis Hamonic. And, you know, we know that the Islanders are on top of the fancy stats and stuff like that. If you look at the Corsi numbers, the Fenwick numbers, Brian Strait's numbers are not pretty. So, I mean, you just have to wonder what exactly is the motivation here. Is this maybe Capuano looking to rest the other guys on the defensive side of things before they head into the playoffs? Because, I mean, aside from a reason like that, I really don't know where this is coming from.
I can't imagine Calvin's not playing because they want to rest him. I know it's late in the season and everybody's banged up, like Jack. Those were Jack's words this morning. You know, you can certainly understand that. But for me, like I've been saying, Calvin DeHaan has to play now. This can't go on unless he's hurt, like you said. But I was at the Coliseum this morning and he practiced and he looked okay to me. So, like I keep saying, he has to play. Just to get back into a rhythm and have some, you know, try to restore that chemistry that we saw that he had with Travis Hamonic earlier in the year. The idea that Brian Strait is going to play, not only play, but play crucial minutes, 19, 20, 21 minutes a night in the playoffs, I find it very hard to believe that the Islanders are going to get out of the first round if that's the case.
No, once again, I agree with you, Brian. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Hopefully, you know.
I don't think anybody does, Sean. I really
don't.
Right, you know, and Jack's not going to tell us. I mean, we've seen this with Jack and younger players before. You can go all the way back to Nino if you want. There's some guys that he tries to teach lessons to, maybe stricter than others. I'm not sure. I mean, he sat Strome that one game, and Strome obviously responded. That was a head-scratcher at the time. So, but it's not like Jack is making these decisions on his own. He obviously speaks with Doug Weight and Greg Cronin every single day, and probably Gart Snow as well. So I don't think he's defying anybody by continuing to play Brian Strait over Calvin DeHaan, but they can't possibly think that this is the better option once the playoffs roll around if they want to advance past the first round for the first time in 22 years.
Right. I mean, granted, we're sitting here, we're not getting paid to make these decisions, but I mean, we're watching the same games that they are. You know,
right.
And we're seeing what's going on out in the ice. So it just makes it all the more baffling. I guess we'll see how this all unfolds. At the very least, it's a very interesting talking point. And just to move on to another Islander that's itching to get back into the lineup, hopefully sooner than later, is a guy, Mikhail Grabowski. He's finally back practicing with the team. Capuano already came out and said he shouldn't be playing tomorrow night, but he will be practicing in the morning. Any idea from your end when he might get back into the lineup? And do you think you know, he's a guy who they want there for game one of the playoffs?
Yeah, I asked Jack exactly this morning, Sean, and he was hesitant when I asked him if he's going to be ready for the playoffs next week. But for me, to have a whole nother week, I mean, the playoffs at the earliest aren't going to start until next Wednesday, so that's, what, 9 more days? So if he can continue to practice with a no contact jersey and does all the regular drills and looks okay, I think he's going to play in game one if it's all systems go. I really do. I think he's a very valuable piece to this puzzle. He's a guy, although he hasn't really taken draws for much of the season, I think he's a guy who should be taking faceoffs once the playoffs start because they're not very good at them, let's be honest. So to not have him do it would be another head-scratcher for me. But very good two-way player. Who you obviously need to succeed in the playoffs. So if Grabowski is healthy, even if he doesn't play over these last three games, I would fully expect to see him in game one if he's healthy.
Absolutely, Brian. And getting away from the Islanders just for a little bit here and look at what's going on otherwise in the Eastern Conference. A team that we talked about with you a couple of weeks ago in Ottawa, which we all kind of agreed was just kind of dead and buried, has the opportunity to leapfrog the struggling Pittsburgh Penguins. Did you obviously we talked about it, you know, a couple of weeks ago, but is this not amazing that we're at this point at the last week of the season?
Tony, it's ridiculous. I mean, they were dead and buried at Christmas time. I mean, completely dead and buried. I mean, the idea that they're in the, even if they don't make it, it's just a remarkable story. The fact that they're in this thing with what, three or four games to go. Obviously, they have a huge game with Boston coming up here. So, you know, it's how they've been able to do this. I mean, Andrew Hammond, if you look at his numbers, fellas, in the American League, they weren't very good. And how he's been able to do this at this level, the highest level on the planet, it's just unbelievable. I don't know if it's going to be enough for a guy like Dave Cameron to get Jack Adams consideration, but this is crazy what the center has been able to do. You keep waiting for them to fall off, and even when they lose, they get points. It's just remarkable what they're doing. So, you know, and when you combine that with the Penguins are just crumbling. Some of it's injuries, obviously. They've lost key players going all the way back to the start of the year with Olimata, who I think is a really good young defenseman. And then you add Erhoff, who's been banged up all year, Chris Letang, who's obviously one of the best offensive defensemen in the league. So there's obviously a lot of problems in Pittsburgh, and the Islanders might actually have a chance to knock them out Friday night. It's going to be a huge game. We thought it would determine whether the Islanders or Penguins would have home ice in the first round, and instead it might determine whether or not the Penguins make the playoffs at all. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. It's unbelievable. And with Ottawa and Pittsburgh playing the way that they are, but you see the team that, you know, kind of has come out of nowhere also is Washington. They just continue to get points. And Sean and I were just talking about it. You know, Ovechkin has been unbelievable. Washington has put themselves in a really good position this final week of the season.
And it's a huge credit to Barry Trotz and Ovi as well, obviously. But Barry Trotz is letting Ovechkin be Ovechkin. You know, you remember when Dale Hunter took the job and tried to turn him into a grinder. Like, what are you doing? This is one of the most talented players in the world. You got to let him do what makes both Ovechkin and the team most successful, and that's to let him play his game. That shot from the left circle, he is the most lethal player in the National Hockey League from that spot. He scored a ton of goals from there to this year. He's having a tremendous bounce back season. So, very well coached, very structured. Braden Holtby has not had a day off in what, 10 years now. I mean, this is crazy. The guy plays every single night. It's insane. And is showing no signs of wear and tear. So, if it is an Islanders Caps matchup, this is not going to be easy. I think it would be a very, very entertaining, probably 7-game series that could go either way. Kudos to Caps ownership for finally getting this right. You know, they could have hired, I think, in my opinion, I've obviously always been a Mike Havlin guy, and it came down to Havi and Adam Oates a couple years ago, and they went in the wrong direction, and they've been paying for it ever since. But Barry Trotz, is going to be in Washington for a long time, the same he was in Nashville. He's a very, very good coach.
Right on, Brian. And before we take it out west for a minute here, just let's pull out your crystal ball for a second. How do you see things shaking out here in the Metro, and I guess in the East as a whole? I mean, do you think Ottawa has the ability to leapfrog any one of Boston, Pittsburgh, and Detroit? They all have 95 points. And who do you see ultimately taking home ice in that second spot in the Metro?
You know, I can't. I know that they've been playing awful for the past few weeks here. I can't see the Penguins not making it. I just can't. I know that their forwards are all kind of, you know, mix and match, and Kunitz isn't having a great year and everything else, but there's just the idea that Crosby and Malkin aren't going to find a way to figure this out over this last week of the season, Sean. I can't see it. So as great of a story as Ottawa has been, I think they just missed. So I think what you see right now in the East is what you get. And it's going to be off the charts. I think it's going to be a phenomenal. Everybody talks about the West, and rightfully so. It's a loaded conference. But, you know, I had Chicago as my Stanley Cup final pick back in October, and I'm sticking to it. They're going to get came back earlier than expected. At least that's what everybody's saying. So the East, I had Tampa Bay. But for me, you just look at it, guys, and it's just for me, it's a total toss-up. I think any one of those eight teams can go to the final. I really do.
Absolutely, Brian. And let's take it out west now. There's also a bit of a race going on out there. It looks like the top three spots in the Central Division are all but locked up, with St. Louis, Nashville, and Chicago just kind of vying for positioning there. But then you got the wild card here. Los Angeles seems to be in and out of that wild card spot every other night. You got Winnipeg right there, tied with them with 92 points. You got the Flames at 93. Vancouver's still kind of involved in that conversation, too. They only have 95. So a lot going on out west. Are the Kings going to get in? and then are they basically going to go on and win to the Stanley Cup?
If they get in, I wouldn't want to play them, obviously, right? I mean, they're just one of those teams that can flip a switch. They're winning again tonight 1-0. So, but kudos to Winnipeg, fellas. I mean, this is a team that really has had a lot of internal problems this year, going back to before they traded Evander Kane. That was not a pretty sight for anybody who knows what went on over there. So, but Andre Pavelec has been tremendous over these past month and a half, whatever it's been. And but yeah, I think the Kings are another team. I really compare them to the Penguins in this situation, Sean, where if they get in, and I do think they're going to get in just because it's the Kings, and they know how to figure out ways to win at this time of year. So as good of a story that the Jets are too, I would love to see a playoff game in Winnipeg. I think if the Jets should find a way to get into these playoffs here, that crowd at MTS Center is going to be ridiculous. So kind of rooting for Winnipeg to figure this out, but using my head here, I think the Kings are going to find a way into the playoffs. And are they going to win the Cup? I'm not sure, but obviously once they get in, like I said, I don't think any of those top teams want to play them.
I just noticed that they're under 500 on the road. That's unbelievable that they could be under 500 on the road. But two teams I want to talk about out east, out west, Brian. Minnesota, who now who went on that unbelievable run, now has lost three straight, and I think they were losing tonight as well. And then
they lost 2-0.
And then Calgary, Bob Hartley, who took a team that last year I think everyone thought was going to be amongst the worst in the NHL, and now you have Yuri Hudler, who's got 72 points. It's unbelievable that these two teams have come from nowhere, and you know, teams like, you know, San Jose and Dallas, with all the talent that they have, are on the outside looking in.
San Jose just got eliminated tonight, so you can scratch them off. What a disaster it's been for the Sharks this year, right, guys? I mean, it's just ridiculous. A team with that much talent is not going to be in the playoffs. A team that our buddy Mike loves at this time of year always, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
But, yeah, so the Sharks are out. Minnesota, I think you're seeing a little bit of a regression to the mean. Obviously, Devan Dubnyk was not going to continue this forever. As great of a guy and as great of a story as he is, it's very comparable kind of to Andrew Hammond in Ottawa. So, but I do think they'll figure this out before it's too late. So I think the Wild will get in. And, you know, Bob Hartley, for me, is probably the Jack Adams winner. Like you said, everybody was expecting to finish near the bottom of the standings. And, you know, like you said, Hudler's been fantastic. And Johnny Gaudreau, man, is that guy fun to watch. He's just fantastic.
Yes,
so, and the goaltending's been good. You know, Hiller has been a really good pickup for those guys. I think it's really going to hurt when the playoffs start that they don't have Mark Giordano, who's just one of the better defensemen in the whole league.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to really show just how big of a loss that was when the playoffs do roll around. But, man, the fact that the Flames are probably going to be in there, it's a terrific story. It really is.
Absolutely, Brian, no question. Well, listen, we can't thank you enough for joining us once again on the show. Can't wait to have you back next week to talk playoffs. Have a great rest of your night, Brian, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys, be well. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Brian Compton, the Deputy Managing Editor for NHL.com, and yet another edition of the brand new Straight Outta Compton with Brian Compton. Tony, awesome stuff from Brian once again.
Absolutely. You know, you look at, you know, we talked about it, man. This is going to be the last 2 weeks of the last 2 weeks, and then this week have been unbelievable games, unbelievable hockey being played, and we haven't even gotten to the playoffs yet. So
I know.
Just
it's
imagine,
awesome. I love
you know,
it.
It's,
I love
it's,
it.
Oh, it's going to be it is just going to be fantastic. I'm stoked.
It is, Tony. It is. But for now, we're going to take a little break. So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you forgot, you are listening to Hockey Night in New York, part of the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Tune in live or for the archives at htwradio.com. But for tonight, it is htw2.com. Then we'll be back to our regularly scheduled Sunday nights going forward after tonight. We'll be back on the Sundays, 9 p.m. next week. We're going to take a break right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back in a moment.
Hockey fans, if it's Sunday night, then it's time for Hockey Night in New York. That's right. There's a brand new show in town right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network, and it's hosted by HockeyThisWeek.com magazine columnists Sean Cuthbert and Tony Seville. Tune in every week at 9 p.m. for a featured look at the New York Islanders, as well as commentary on the New York Rangers, New Jersey Devils, and the Buffalo Sabres. You can also expect great interviews with NHL insiders and local team journalists for a New York take on all things NHL. That's Hockey Night in New York, Sundays at 9 p.m., right here at hcwradio.com.
Night in New York, part of the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Tune in live or from the archives at hcwradio.com. You are listening to Sean and Tony Stabile. We're talking some hockey, we're talking some Islanders, we're talking playoffs. Very exciting stuff here, as Tony said just before the break. The games going into the playoff action here has been nothing short of fantastic, and it's only going to get better once the season ends next Saturday.
No.
Am I right, Tony?
Absolutely.
Am I right?
And you know, it's funny because we had Brian on for 15 or 16 minutes or whatever it was. And
we dropped the ball.
We talked about all of this great hockey that's being played, and we did not talk to him about his unbelievable article on the New York Islanders that was on NHL.com on Sunday.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people were just, you know, all over Twitter were just saying what an unbelievable article it was. And, you know, and we didn't even mention it.
Well, you know what? We'll do it next week, Tony. We'll have him talk about it next week. Because you know what? It'll be even more appropriate because it'll be the night after the last game at the Coliseum.
Which
so we can
just
revisit that.
Can you believe it?
Can
you believe it that we are actually here? We are at game number 41, the last one at the Coliseum. I mean,
I am just floored
that this is it.
It finally hit me, Tony. I went to the Coliseum on Saturday to see the Islanders play the Sabres, and they did Decades Night. You know, they brought out, was it nine guys from,
Pierre Turgeon,
Sean Bates, Derek Cairns. Pierre Turgeon looks like he can still skate a couple of shifts.
Yeah. Eddie Westfall, God bless him, 75 years
great.
Old, looks fantastic.
Yeah, he does.
So, I mean, you know, everybody looked great. That was a nice presentation.
Yeah, they put some short video clips together for each of the guys that came down. They all came out for the ceremonial puck drop, before the game. So that was a nice little touch. But it's funny because when that stuff was going on, and then they brought out the Islanders, just before they dropped the puck here, it just hit me. That was when it finally hit me. I was standing there, I was watching, I was like, wow. I was like, yeah, this is it. You know, because I'm looking down at the alumni, down at the ice, and I was like, this is the second to last game at the Coliseum, and
it's gonna
be
interesting.
Finally. Got to me like, man, this is pretty sad.
Yeah,
this is pretty sad.
I'm very interested to see who they have. I believe that they have some people coming out on Saturday
that
night.
That seems to be the word, but nothing's been released, right?
Been
There's
said,
no info,
nothing,
right?
But as far as I know, I mean, there have been some names of people we haven't seen in a while. Tinelli's name has been bandied about.
I was listening to the Butch Goring show earlier,
mm-hmm.
and Butch and Mike were actually discussing that Bill Torrey might find his way to the Coliseum
on Saturday.
That
would be great.
Now, I don't know if that's confirmed. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I believe it was Butch who said Mr. Torrey might find himself over there.
Well, I would expect that just about everybody would be available and out. I mean, anybody who's not working within the game. I mean, Ferraro works within the game, and Kelly
right.
Rudy works for Sportsnet, and Trotz is the assistant up in Buffalo. So I'm assuming that anybody who's working wouldn't be there. But
isn't it kind of curious, though, that they haven't released any information? I mean, isn't that something you'd think that they'd want to push? Not to say that they're going to have a hard time getting people into the building anyway.
No,
the game's been sold out before the season started.
Pretty much.
But,
I mean, they're not. I think they really actually want it to be a surprise. I think that's what it is.
But at least let people know what time they should get there. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, if they're going to put something together, I mean, you figure you want to let your fans know, hey, come be there by 6.
I mean, listen, they don't start that stuff early normally. They normally start that, beforehand, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that there'll be something, before the game. I'm sure there'll be something in the intermission. I'm sure there'll be a big thing after the game. I'm sure that's going to be a big part of it. You know, it's the jersey off the back night.
Right.
The Islanders will be wearing their classic 1972
with the orange names.
Yeah, they have names on the back too. Unfortunately, they do, but they will have names on the back as well, which they didn't have in 72. But they will have the orange names, orange numbers.
I would guess that might be a league mandated thing. Maybe they have to have the names on there. Maybe I don't. I'm guessing here. I don't know for sure.
I don't know. I think they just chose. To have them on there.
Oh, okay.
You know.
All right.
You know, there was actually talk when they went to these new retro jerseys with the old royal blue that they were going to do the orange numbers, and I think they aesthetically and for Howie's eyes, I think they decided not to do the orange.
Yeah, I remember that they did consider going with the orange numbers. Yeah. And well, if you remember, they wore those jerseys with the orange numbers.
That's what
a couple of years ago.
Pietro.
I remember Asham was still on the team.
Yeah, Blake.
I remember. Yeah, they did that a couple of years.
Yeah, they wore them one night. It was like a retro night or whatever. And that's what kind of clamored for everyone for them to bring those back.
Yeah,
because people loved them.
Right.
And they didn't bring the orange numbers back. They only brought the white numbers.
Right.
But that's going to be another thing. So they'll do that. I'm sure they're going to do something after the game.
Very interested to see
what they
end up doing. And I'm excited to see it, but at the same time, I'm almost sad that they got to do something because, I mean, this is it. This is going to be the last regular season home game at the Nassau Coliseum.
This has been the thing with me, too.
Bittersweet, man.
This has been the thing with me also. I know you did a season package this year, and I haven't gone to any of the games recently, for some personal reasons, and other reasons are because the tickets have been so expensive.
Sure, yeah.
For
everybody
these last
wants
couple
to get
of
in.
Regular season games, and I honestly would rather spend that money on the playoffs than on one of these games. I didn't want to spend $90 for a 300 ticket, against Buffalo. I didn't see any reason for that. I'd rather spend $90 on a playoff ticket against Washington or Pittsburgh or whatever.
I hear you.
So, I mean, I don't feel like I'm missing anything with the last regular season's game. I've been to, thank God I've been able to go to hundreds of games over the course of the years.
Right.
And, I really, honestly, the last time I walk out of that building, I want it to be a playoff game. I don't want it to be a regular season game.
Well, the nice thing is it looks like that is very much going to be the case. And and that's what's going to actually kind of help Saturday night, be an easier night, I think, for all of us. While it's the last regular season home game, there's still going to be more home games after that.
Can you imagine if it wasn't going to be, though?
No. Oh, my God. It would be just melancholy and the infinite sadness.
Yeah.
That would be awful.
Yeah.
There would be tears left and right.
Absolutely.
Oh, it would be terrible.
Absolutely.
No, it's great. It's great. I mean, look, hopefully this doesn't happen. But, I mean, even if they lose on Saturday Columbus, because Columbus isn't playing so damn well, but at least, everybody at the end of the game feel like, it would have been real nice if they had won their last regular season home game. But they're going to be playing in a couple nights in the playoffs.
We'll be here, next
so,
week.
No
so,
no big deal. But that being said, even if – let's just say, for argument's sake, that they have home ice locked up by Saturday, right? Let's say the dominoes fall the way they want them to, and they're going into that game knowing no matter what happens tonight, we're going to be opening up game one at the Coliseum. I mean, I don't know about you, but they still got to come out like – barnstormers, right? Because it's the last regular season game ever at the Coliseum.
Oh,
they got to come out and get a W, right? They got to win that game.
You look at you see the way these players have been all season long with the whole Coliseum, the love fest that they've had with the fans. Now this is you're going back to a couple of years ago. There was no love fest between the players and the fans,
right?
Okay, and it was no love fest between the fans and anybody at that point. It was John Tavares and it was pretty much everything else. So you look at the way that this team has embraced the whole last season at the Coliseum, the whole yes chant thing, the fans. It's become it's unbelievable what we're seeing here. So I have no doubt that the Islander team, no matter who they put out there on Saturday night, will be gung ho to try to win that final game, the regular season game at the Coliseum, without a doubt.
Right. I mean, you got to figure. So, I mean. basically, you gotta assume that Yaroslav Halak is going to start that game, regardless of where
I don't know.
Are.
It depends, because I think, honestly, you probably start Halak in Pittsburgh, and I don't see why there's any reason to start him on Saturday. So.
Yeah, and then I guess they're just going to have to rely on the five guys in front of Norvath. Not to say that Norvath is going to play a bad game. Give the guys some credit.
Yeah, no, I mean.
But, you're right.
Norvath
you're right.
Terrible.
I had forgotten that brief moment that they got a much bigger game the night before.
That'll be a doozy. So
yeah.
They'll probably, you know.
I just don't like the thought of them potentially losing the last game, ever. Regular season wise at the Coliseum.
I don't care. I really don't give a crap.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Tony. I would rather them win 16 playoff games.
Exactly.
Know,
I want. Everything now, right now, is geared towards the playoffs. I mean, plain and simple. That's all it is. It's all about, for me, home ice advantage, and the reason why I want the home ice advantage so much is because I want more playoff games at home. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with, I don't think that if they don't end up with home ice that they're going to lose. I don't think that that's the case. I think that they can do, played so well on the road this year, I don't think that that's a problem.
And I hear where you're coming from there, but that's not to say that I'm hoping for game sevens. I mean, hey, please, guys, close it out in five.
Oh, obviously. I mean, I want to see them skating around, saying, hey, see you next week. We'll be back here again.
Right.
I'm not, believe me, I'm not saying that I want seven games just because I want more playoff games. What I mean is that, I want more playoff games because I want them to have, I want more of the games to be at the Coliseum than anywhere else. I don't care. Like I said, I don't think that there's any team, if they have to play, Tampa or Montreal or whatnot or whatever, that's one thing. But, this first round, Pittsburgh, Washington, it doesn't really make a difference to me. I don't think that either building is a building that they can't go into and have an advantage.
I agree with you. I mean, granted, we've said it already. I mean, I'd rather see them play Pittsburgh than Washington. It just doesn't look like it's going to shake out that way. And I'm a little more scared of Washington because they have a guy like Barry Trotz behind the bench now. I mean, that's going to be – I mean, and he has so much playoff experience with the Predators.
He does,
but
a team that, I know they weren't offensively, gifted or whatnot or whatever, but, his team – the Nashville teams didn't all go overly far. I think 1 year they went well deep into the playoffs, and that was part of the reason why – they decided to move on because they weren't getting to that next level, which is what they wanted. So, listen, this is the first time this team is going to go into the playoffs together. Again, it's a team where Backstrom and Ovechkin and Green and these guys have struggled in the playoffs, and Holtby too. So, other than that series where they, they played the Rangers to what was that year? That was the year
you had a couple of years. You had a stretch of years where it seemed like the Rangers and the Caps were beating each other almost every year.
And the Rangers would be the team that came out of that series usually most of the time. But
I went back and forth.
The Devils wasn't it the Devils that played Washington to seven games and then they ended up going to the finals?
I think that's what it was. Yeah, because I remember there was a 1 year. Granted, we're going back a little bit.
Wasn't that the Dale Hunter?
But it was one of the years when Gavrik was still playing for the Rangers, and I actually was lucky enough to catch one of those games at the Garden between the Capitals and the Rangers, and the Caps ended up winning that game. And I think it was, if it wasn't the series clinching game, it was the one just before it. But I know the Caps won at least one of those series against the Rangers.
That
was back when the Capitals were like at the top of the conference.
They were one of the best teams in the conference, and they're one of the top teams in the conference this year. There really is a you have really at the top of the conference. You have your 100-point teams. You have the Islanders at 98. You have Washington at 99, and everything else. Everybody else has got 95, pretty much.
It would be nice if the Islanders could have home ice for the first time since 1988. That would be also nice too.
I would
kill
that
record because it's been quite a long time. Yeah, let's kill that record,
but
right?
But you know what? In all honesty, though, I mean, think of it this way: all of those years where the Islanders and the Capitals had all those great playoff series, the Easter Epic, the 93 series. I mean, there have been so many great.
Right.
I mean, when you talk about playoff opponents, the one team that the Islanders have played over and over and over again to so many great series is the Capitals. It's almost fitting that they're going to have to play them. This year. It's almost fitting.
And as funky as the current divisional situations are now, whatever you want to call it, the way they're doing it now with the way the playoffs are,
which
I
can't stand, by the way.
Yeah, it's very odd. It really is. I mean, I'm on the fence with it. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. But to take it back to what you said, the one of the good things about it is that it does have the chance to kind of reestablish these rivalries that we used to see, you know, back in the days of the Patrick Division. You know, when you had the Islanders, back when they made the playoffs with some regularity, opening up against the Capitals again and
that's
again.
That's what it should be.
Even
that's
further
the way it should be. It should be 1-4-2-3 and 1-4-2-3. That's what it should be. That's the way it should go. Plain and simple. I mean, that's the way it should be. And you know, but honestly, I'm Washington Pittsburgh. You know, I go back to '93, and I look at, you know, '93. The Islanders beat both of those teams, a team that nobody expected to be where they were, a team that nobody expected to win either one of those series, and they went out and they did it. And they did the second series without Pierre Turgeon, which was just unbelievable. The fact that they were able to do that. And I, you know, you look at this team the way that it is, and you know, I mean, you don't. I don't think anybody, and I will be the first one to tell you, I did not expect this team to win 46 games this year.
No,
I did not expect them to be at the top of the conference.
Challenge for 100 points.
A challenge for 100 points, which it looks like, you know, I mean, that they should get at this point. They home ice advantage. I mean, seriously, I don't care who you are, or you could say, well, as soon as they got Boychuk and Letty, I expected this.
No,
bull. Nobody expected
it. No, nobody
it.
Did. But since they came out of the gate playing so well, that expectation showed up real quick.
Of course it did. Of course it did. And I think people got spoiled by it a little bit.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Absolutely.
But this is a team that was the fifth overall pick last year. Okay? They had the fifth overall pick. They're going to have 100 points this year. All they did was they made three acquisitions. They acquired Yaroslav Halak.
I would say five key acquisitions.
No. They acquired three players. Halak,
understood.
Boychuk, and Letty. They kept all three of those players, okay, to long-term contracts.
Right.
Then they signed Kuhlman.
Gotcha.
They signed Grabowski, okay? You look at just think of the last 12 months for the Islanders. The year that Michael Dell has had in the OHL, the year that Josh Hosang has had in the OHL, to see Stefan Williams and what he did in the NCAA this year.
And aren't they playing in the playoffs? They're against each other right now, isn't Hosang and Dalcol?
Yes,
they're playing.
They're going to play each other in the last
awesome.
And they're good friends, by the way, also.
Oh,
which is
there you
great.
Go.
They're very
all
good
right.
friends. So you look at what they've done. You look at the year that Ryan Pulock has had in Bridgeport. You look at the way that the Islander team has come up, and you've seen Strome and Nelson and Lee and the way that these players. You see what Letty has done this year. You look at the year that Halak has had. I don't think you can look at anything. I don't care what happens from tomorrow forward. This is a year that you're going to go back 20 years from now and say this was a turning point in this organization. The fact that they were able to come out, all of the building that they've done and all of everything that they've done, well, basically over the last 5 years, has come to fruition at this point. And you look at what they have going forward, and they're in very good position. The only thing that they do not have this year that they have in years past is draft picks.
And they don't need any of those right now.
Not at this point. You don't. You look at the guys who they have and how they've matured and the years that they've had and the young players that they already currently have on the roster, the salary structure that they have going forward, the fact that they have their ownership, they're building questions settled. This, you cannot look at everything from this point on is gravy. That's how good of a year that the 2014-2015 season has been. And just think about that. Okay, it doesn't matter what happens from here on out. This year is a 100% success.
Well, if they lose out the next three games, that's going to be pretty bad. But we don't expect that.
I don't think we expect
Let's go to break.
Let's go to break.
We'll do this hour early. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Hockey Night in New York, part of the HTW Radio Network. We're coming at you live from the Hockey This Week studios on Long Island. You can tune in live or for the archives at htwradio.com. But tonight, it is HTW2.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it is time for the Hero of the Week.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hockey This Week Radio Network right here at HTWradio.com, home of the Butch Goring Show, the Red Line, and the Neil Smith Show. Our programs feature insights on the NHL from a who's list of former NHL stars and media personalities, including Dave Maloney, Terry Frazier, Ken Danico, Bernie Nichols, Guy Carboneau, Liam McGuire, and Scott Laughlin. All HTW shows are broadcast live and archived right here at HTWradio.com. So if you miss a program, you can always listen in 24/7. The Hockey This Week Radio Network. The game is always on.
Radio Network. Tune in live for the archives at htwradio.com. Coming at you live from the Hockey This Week studios on Long Island. You listen to Sean and Tony. And when you hear this song, as hopefully you have come to know, it is time for the Hero of the Week. Tony, who goes first? Be honest.
I have no idea.
Right.
No idea.
Buddy. I know. It's been 2 weeks. You're right. I think I go first.
Wow.
I think you went first last time.
Okay.
I think so.
Sounds good to me.
See,
about.
Look, I play fair. I play by the rules.
No, you don't.
You, on the other hand, you shifty individual. You would have.
I try to cheat whenever I can.
Wow. Wow. Well, what's the saying? How's the saying go? If you're not cheating, you're not trying?
Exactly right.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So with that, time for the Hero of the Week. I'm going to go with mine. Let's see. 2 weeks ago was no good. We didn't get to do a hero that week anyway. There wasn't really a hero.
It wouldn't have been a hero. That would have been the one week
so
we didn't
good.
Do a hero of the week.
That's good. That's good. We missed out on that. So as far as this past week goes, for me, pretty easy decision. The captain, John Tavares, he's starting to take the team on his back. He's put up 6 points over these last three games. He had 3 against Detroit. He had 2 against Columbus, and then he had a point against Buffalo. So 6 points in 3 games. I think you want Johnny T, your captain, riding high into the playoffs here. That's what he's doing. And hopefully he gets a little bonus hardware at the end of the season with a little Art Ross trophy. He is still in the thick of that race.
Absolutely.
He is only one point behind Sidney Crosby for the points lead here. So let's see if he can put up a couple more points over these last three games. So, ladies and gentlemen, my hero of the week, John Tavares.
Very nice, very nice. I'm gonna have a collaborative type of hero of the week, and I'm gonna say my hero of the week is the New York Islander penalty kill. They have done an outstanding job over the course of the last. This is the best stretch that they've had all season. You know, this is a unit that I didn't think that personnel wise that was bad. I just felt that they needed to kind of get themselves going. Greg Cronin has done a good job of finally figuring out what has to be done. And the Islander penalty kill, which was dead last in the NHL, and I mean by a lot, is now, I believe, 24th in the NHL, which is it's a huge improvement. As I said, they've killed off like 33 of their last 35, and I think they probably killed off like 70 of their last 75. I mean, they've been outstanding over the course of the last 6 weeks. And this was a major concern going into the playoffs, and now it seems to be one. It seems to that they've definitely righted the ship here. So my hero of the week is the New York Islander penalty kill.
Tony, I like it. I like it. The penalty kill, as you said, has been nothing short of tremendous. We talked about it earlier in the show. They have picked a perfect time to get the penalty kill going because you want to have if you're going to have one strong special team here, I think it's got to be the penalty kill over the power play. Obviously, you want them both going, but it's great to see that the penalty killers are working out well for the Islanders now, and hopefully they keep riding that wave into the playoffs because, as we said as well, they are going to need it against the Caps and the Penguins if they end up playing them.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%, buddy.
I don't know what changed. I mean, you know, they have been playing a little more aggressive. I think
much
that
more aggressive
a lot to do
on
with
the
it.
Points. Much more aggressive on the points.
But the good thing is that it's happening. The penalty kill is better. I mean, you have to say over the last stretch here, they're one of the best penalty kills in the league in recent history, of course. Obviously not overall.
No. Listen, this is a team that, like I said, they were dead buried last 30th, so... the fact that they were winning those games with that penalty kill is remarkable. I mean, if they had this penalty kill the whole season, they may have like 60 wins by now. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, we only have a little over 2 minutes here to go. So just real quick, look, this is it, folks. This is the last week of the regular season. I can't believe how fast it has come in. There are only 3 games left, and they're all big ones here for the Islanders because, as we've been talking about, they want home ice. They got a big game against Philly tomorrow night in Philly. That starts at 7 o'clock. Philly's been playing well lately. They just beat the Penguins twice over the last couple of days here, so they're not going to be an easy out. Then the Islanders get 2 days break before they finish the season on back-to-backs. They got a huge game against the Penguins on Friday that could very well determine home ice advantage or at the very least a playoff spot for the Penguins. And then on Saturday, there it is, the bittersweet end to the regular season. The Columbus Blue Jackets come into the Coliseum for what will be a very eventful last regular season game for the Islanders. I will be there. I am going to wear sunglasses.
There won't be a dry eye in the place.
No, that may not happen until the playoffs. We'll see. But big stuff coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in for this special Monday night edition of Hockey Night New York. Remember, we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled time on Sunday nights going forward. We'll be back for the playoffs 9 o'clock next Sunday. Tune in live or for the archives at htwradio.com. Tonight you are listening at htw2.com. If you want to hear the archives for this one, you got to go to that site. Ladies and gentlemen, huge thanks to Brian Compton for another great segment of Straight Outta Compton with Brian Compton, the deputy managing editor of NHL.com. Thank you so much. My name is Sean. With me is Tony Stabile. Really appreciate you guys sticking with us. Can't wait to talk playoffs next week. It's going to be an awesome show. Big playoff preview. We got Eric Hornick joining us as well next week.
Yes.
With Brian Compton. So a lot of Islander talk going on there. Going to be great. Let's go to the playoffs, baby. Have a good night.